How many likes to listen to the voice of God? How many knows what it sounds like? Someone said it's a small voice. Sometimes he screams at us. We all slow down. He's got to get our attention. Voice of God. A lot of people say that they hear the voice of God, and I believe that they do. And it can come in various ways. If you have your Bibles tonight, short verse, Psalms chapter 29 and verse number 4. We all like to hear the voice of God. The direction of God, the instructions that God would give us to know and to hear His voice gives us comfort into our lives. Psalms 29, verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Voice of the Lord is powerful. It's not only in the sense of strength, but in its communication. It's giving direction. It's powerful. Let me share with you a true story, starting this lesson out tonight. Story of a minister that arrived at a church as a guest speaker. And he was prayerfully prepared to give a full-length message. You know how preachers will do that. They will have a message, and then sometimes it's a full-length message. And he was prepared with a full-length message. But when he got to the church, he ended up giving one of the most powerful sermons of his entire life in just 2 minutes. But let me tell you the story, the backside of that story leading up to that powerful 2 minutes. The church was a small church, and the leadership and the congregation had developed a tradition of waiting upon the Lord during each service to hear from God. And when I first heard the story, first thing that popped in my mind that he was preaching for a friend's church. And in that particular tradition, it goes back over several decades. They would have a time where they would sit and wait until someone felt the move of God's Spirit, and they would get up and they would say something. Although this church, simply just out of tradition, they would sing a few songs. And after they would sing a few songs, they would just sit quiet and while the congregation would wait on to hear God's voice. And this happened a few times during the service, and in fact, probably about three times during the service. Three people would stand at different times after they sing three or four songs, and they would stand up and they would give a word from God. And of course, this visiting minister is sitting on the front pew, praying and carefully taking mental notes of the spirit of the service and what he was feeling from God himself. And he began to realize what was happening in this congregation. And more that it was dawning on him what was happening, he began to get a little troubled. He wondered if the congregation was truly valuing God's voice or if they were only going through the motions of hearing God's voice. When the minister got up to speak, he opened up his Bible and he said, "Before I share, I have a question for you." The congregation nodded and he continued. He said, "This morning in the service, we had heard three words from the Lord, and I wonder if anybody could tell me what the first words was. What was the first word?" There was silence in the congregation. No one moved, no one stood up, no one gave him an explanation of the first word that someone had stood up and said, "This is what the Lord had to say." "All right then," said the minister, "what did God say in the second prophecy?" Again, there was silence in the congregation. No one moved. or dared to move. And then he said, how about the third message from the Lord? Can anybody remember what the Lord said to us? Again, there was silence. Nobody was moving. No one said a word. The minister closed his Bible. He inhaled deeply, weighing his next words that he was about to speak very carefully. I'm sorry, he said. If you won't listen to God, then you won't listen to me. He closed his Bible, turned and walked out. That's pretty poignant. Amen. So I wonder how many times we listen to the voice of God. It's often been said when God moves and there comes tongues and interpretation, that probably within a matter of an hour or two, you cannot remember what God said. And if you took a survey among the congregation, no one would probably give you the exact same answer what God said. And partly because each one, as they hear something, perceives it in a different manner. It's like standing around the cross of Calvary when Jesus was being crucified and the disciples standing there at all of these various angles at the cross. Each one was perceiving something of the death of the Savior. So I want to talk to us tonight and talk to us about this little simple subject, and because I think it's important not only in my life, but I think it's important in all of our lives. This is the subject, valuing His voice. Now, I teach quite a bit in drug and alcohol classes, and on the basis of value. I found what you value is what you most pay attention to. And if you're a collector of antiques, then you're going to value those antiques, and you're going to put them up and or display them in a certain way because they become value to you. Coins, whatever you're the collector of. But among the men and women, that there's times that I have the opportunity of talking to them about their problem, their habit, is the fact of the value system of their life. What do they value as far as, if it's a man, you know, do you value your wife? Do you value children? And the point of that is, whatever you value, you're going to take care of it. You're going to watch over it. And if it's an alcohol problem, then you're going to value your family enough that you're not going to take the money and go out and spend it on alcohol and squander the money and not pay the bills and so on and so forth. And once a person begins to realize the things that you value, that's the things that you begin to take care of. And to the point is that a person who in that has a habit that doesn't value the fact of your loved ones, then you'll not begin to start working on the problem or the habit or the difficulty. And I've watched men and women at various ages begins to dawn on them that the very thing that they value and would fight for, that they really wasn't valuing it. They was taking it for granted. And I don't believe as a congregation, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can just come to a casual relationship with Jesus Christ without valuing His voice. Now here's the point. We must value God's voice. That's a simple point. We must pay attention. If we truly believe that God is speaking to us, then we must listen closely to the words that He says to us. Sometimes it's a feeling, and we'll go through this and talk about it a little bit later on. It's an impression or a feeling or whatever it may be. But God's got different ways He can talk to us. But listening closely to the words, He says, remember them, and then we must act upon them in humility of faith and then obedience. But if we don't value the voice of God, however it comes, however it reaches us, then we really won't pay attention to it. We won't really hone in on it. Are you familiar with the concept of stewardship? I believe we all are. Stewardship means that we must manage well someone else's property or resources. So we know, we think monetarily, well, a good steward is someone that manages their money. But also there is that ability to be a good steward of the Word of God, or the good steward of the voice of God that speaks to us. I was sitting there this evening and I'm looking across the congregation, and the crowd's not as large as it has been. We've got people that's cut off by flooded roads. We've got people that are filling sandbags, and some that are sick, been to the hospital. I remember Sister Joni Blanchard, she was in the hospital today in Fort Wayne having tests run and so forth. So you look across the congregation, you say, my, it's not as full as it normally would be, or it could be. I'm sitting there, I'm looking beyond the horizon. Why? Because I know what God's voice has said. I know what God's prophecy has given. We've heard the voice of God before, how people's had visions and so forth. And those are things that you value when you look across a congregation. Where's everybody at? Don't worry, God's getting control. He's got it taken care of. You take care of the moment. Value the word, value the voice, value the vision. Amen? I believe that. So as believers, our lives are not our own. We belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 23. We're not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. And that means our time belongs to Him. That means our treasures belong to Him. Our talents belong to Him. And even our futures are not our own. What is your will? We pray that, God. What is your will? That's speaking about the future. Not only for the moment, but for the next moment. You realize 1 second away is the future? 1 minute away is the future? 1 day away is the future? So all of us have this process of realizing that we're not our own. And so consequently, we've got to manage our time and good stewards of the treasure, good stewards of our talents, and even good stewards of the future. So I'm here tonight to remind me and you, important, that we live a good steward life of what belongs to God. Not only we belong to God, our time belongs to Him. And I've got to listen to Him. Sometimes I struggle. You struggle listening to the voice of God? What do I mean by that? I mean that you don't want to do what He's asking you to do. That means you don't want to move when He says move. I love that old song we sing in Pentecost. You got to move, you got to move, you got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. And we tell Him to sing that song one more time and I'll think about it. Sing it two more times and I may get enthusiastic about doing it. It's like God speaks to you about talking to the clerk, talking to the waitress, talking to your neighbor, whatever it may be. You feel that impression to respond to God. We are careful stewards of God's voice when we truly listen to Him. And that word truly, that means we actually do listen to Him. Stewardship relates to hearing the voice of God. Think of it this way. God blesses faithful stewards. Proverbs 28 and verse number 20. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 42 through 46, He speaks about that as well. Now, if God gives us time, He gives us treasures, and He gives us talents, and we're faithful with those, then He gives us more. Anybody like more? I like going through the drive-thru and say, supersizes it, you know. I just don't want a regular French fry. When McDonald's came out with that little phrase, their sales obviously had to go right through the roof because everybody wants it supersized. I want more. There's nothing like reaching down and getting a hot, hot French fry. Anybody with me here? Sorry. Now, I'm not advertising for any fast food tonight, but I've got to tell you, Taco Bell's new French fries is awesome. Has anybody had Taco Bell's French fries? Who would think Taco Bell would have French fries? They're not your ordinary French fries. They are spicy French fries with taco seasoning on them. And you reach down in that. I don't know why I'm on this subject. Evidently, God wants me here for a reason. I don't know. Have you ever gone through a drive-thru and you got French fries and the sack is sitting beside you and you're determined you're going to wait till you get out of the drive-thru or get out of the parking lot, wait till you get on the road and you know that sack is sitting beside you and you cannot help yourself. Your hand leaves the steering wheel and reaches over into the sack. Why? Because you value the hot French fries. Okay, back to the word. If you take care of what he gives you, he will give you more. If we're not faithful, then God doesn't give us more. The same is true of hearing God's voice. If we don't value the voice of God, the leading of God's Spirit, then he's not going to give us more of what we don't value. But if I value it and I say, God, I want to hear from you, I want more of you, guess what's going to happen? I know it's true. He gives us more of his inspiration, more of his leading of his Spirit. He will give you more words. But if we're not faithful, it's not going to happen. He says, take heed what you hear in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He says that many times in the Scriptures that we need to take heed what we hear. Amen. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Again, Mark chapter 4, verse 24. That's a very interesting scripture. Did you catch the last bit of this verse? To you who hear, more will be given. And that's the result of good stewardship. We must be good stewards of what we hear from the Lord. If he gives you a vision, if he speaks to you of a promise, hear it. Value it. He's going to give you more. Anybody like more? How many like depression? More you hang around it, more you're going to get. Amen? The less you have, and the more you can be content with less, the less you're going to have. Why? Because there's no motivation to go get anything else. God hasn't been answering my prayer. I've been praying. And so what happens is you just fall back into a lower realm. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will be sad all day long. Whatever the day may bring, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. If you're looking for more from the Lord, guess what's going to happen? In a dark, dreary, rainy February, snow on the ground, problems, and the bill collector's knocking on your door, ringing your phone, this is the day the Lord hath made, and if you are able to handle more, he's going to give you more. Come on, somebody. Faithful stewards. Let me give you three ways. Partly we can get into this, but number one is we are careful stewards of God's voice when we truly listen to him. You said that, Pastor. Yes, I did, but that is the focus. We are careful stewards of God's voice when we truly listen to him. Have you ever heard a catchy song and sung it only to discover later that you were singing the wrong words? I have. I've stood on this platform. You have no idea how happy the pastor is that we got a new projector with a bright bulb in it that I can read the words on the back wall. I just felt conspicuous turning around and just looking at the screen back here, but back to the congregation. But now when they put that words on the projector, I can stand here now and literally, you have no idea how good it feels to know that you're singing the right words. There's been times when I found out what the right words were, I'm thinking, oh my Lord, I had no idea what that what that word was. I've been singing the wrong word. What about the first line? You sign your name, then you put your glasses on and realize it wasn't on the line at all. It's off the line. Wasn't even close to the line. Amen. So we definitely have sometimes a listening problem in this generation. And we hear many things. We hear a lot of words, a lot of songs, a lot of internet, a lot of movies, a lot of music. And we hear these things so quickly. It moves so quickly through our minds. It's difficult to discern what truly, truly important and truly what we're hearing. Yet when someone important speaks, I think it's important to listen to what he has to say. The most important person in your life is Jesus Christ. Most important person in my life is Jesus Christ. God speaks to people who seek to hear him, and with humble hearts, and to those who will faithfully act upon his spoken word. And so God speaks to us, church. Well, I know he speaks to us. I know he does. But there's ways that he does sometimes that we miss these ways. Number one is God can speak through circumstances. You ever had God speak to you through circumstances? God spoke to Jonah first with his voice, but Jonah didn't heed God's voice. So God spoke to Jonah through circumstances. And sometimes we wonder why I'm going through this or why I'm facing this. It could be the fact is he has to bring us circumstances to get our attention to hear his voice. I don't like to hear God's voice through circumstances. I don't think Jonah liked to be swallowed by a whale. We don't like to face problems or situations or difficult things. God, what are you trying to tell me? So I think we need to examine our circumstances and ask if we are hearing the Lord through these circumstances. Ask yourself two questions. What's happening in my life right now? What is the Lord telling me through these circumstances? And so he speaks to that. Second one is God can speak through wise counsel. Wise counsel. And this is shown all through Proverbs and Solomon, the wisest man. God gave him great knowledge. And when we seek godly counsel, we can hear the voice of God through that counsel. Counsel always complements Scripture. When we seek wise, godly mentors in the Lord, we don't ask them to hear from God for us, but to prayerfully confirm that what we've heard from the Lord is correct. It's not, Pastor, give me a word from the Lord. It is, I want to be confirmed on what I heard from the Lord. Is that what the Lord is? Lord speaking to me? And sometimes we come to a church or a worship service and the preaching of the word, evangelist, Bible teacher, a pastor teaching on a Wednesday night, and God confirms what he has been speaking to your spirit about. Number three, God can speak through peace. Colossians 3:15 is a good scripture. God's peace can rule in our hearts. And sometimes we need that peace. The word rule means simply to merely exist. It means to reign or to be deciding factor in a moment, in a time. If we don't have peace about a decision, then it isn't from the Lord. And I've counseled a lot of people over that simple thing. How do you feel about it? You feel peace about it. If there's a peace about it, then you can rest in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean it's going to come to pass that moment, the next hour, day, week, month. But however long it takes, we rest in the peace of the Lord. He's given that to us. Don't move forward unless you have what? Peace. Number four, God can speak through people. And this pattern is shown throughout the Bible. God brings wise and godly people into the lives of others and speaks through them to us. That's why it's good to pray for the body of Christ. That's why it's good to pray for one another. Paul emphasizes that. We say that, you know, pray for one another, lift one another up, encourage one another. You have no idea. In my life, I've had people come along and speak a word into my life, into my spirit, that has changed the outlook on everything. I think you have had that as well. Don't despise when someone says, bless you. They're not trying to tell you that God doesn't. If anything, I got to pray over is when I tell somebody, God bless you, and they come back and say, well, he does. I just want to fight in the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying he doesn't bless you. I'm saying I want to bless you. Is that strong enough? And someone tonight will tell me he does when I tell it to him. You're blessed. You're blessed. But it's good if you have someone to speak that to you, to confirm that you're blessed. Amen? Amen? You don't want someone to come up to you and say, I got a word for you. God hates you. Never works. It never works. Everybody's looking for a blessing. But sometimes we need to have that confirmed. Number five, God can speak through dreams and visions. And this pattern is shown in the lives of Joseph and Solomon and Jacob and Peter, John and Paul. This method is available to us today. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17, where Peter quotes Joel 2:28. In this congregation through the years, people have spoken about what God has shown them in dreams about this congregation and the positiveness of it, all that happens. And sometimes you come and say, God, where is the dream? When's it coming to pass? I don't know. Joseph had some dreams. His brothers bowing down to him. It took about 17 to 18 years staying in prison. Can you imagine he's thinking? That may not have been what God was trying to tell me. He gets out of prison. Years pass by. And because of the famine, here comes his family. Here comes his brothers. And they bow down before him. Hold on to the word. Never turn loose. Value the word. God speaks through our thoughts. Amos chapter 4, verse 13. That God makes known his ways to us through our thoughts. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, while Joseph thought about things, God spoke to him. We need to be careful here because not every thought in our mind comes from the Lord. Be careful on that. Thoughts can also be placed in our minds from the devil. Well, how am I going to know the difference? Is it God or is it the devil? We judge it from the Word of God. The Word of God is your anchor point. It is your anchor point. So every time we get a thought, we need to judge it from the Word of God. Does it align with the Scripture? Does it in any way contradict the character of God? Does it in any way contradict the character of God? It must align with the Scriptures. Number 7, God can speak through natural manifestations. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 states clearly that God can make himself known by nature. The voice of God can be revealed through mountains and waters and trees and meadows and landscapes and more. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 27 through 30, God spoke from heaven. But when God spoke in this incident, according to the Scripture, some people who stood nearby thought they were hearing thunder. I've said it a few times in this pulpit through the years. Let me say it again. As a young man, I was up mushroom hunting in the woods. And I had my trusty machete in my hand. I was just cutting, whacking weeds or just whatever was in my way. As I was going through the woods, coming up on a ravine, hanging down from a tree was an old wild grapevine. And those old wild grapevines, you would get a couple of yanks on it, see if it was going to stay tight to the tree limb above. Sometimes they would just yank on down, and sometimes it would be real firm, and you'd grab a hold of it, and you would try to swing on that grapevine. Except I took the machete for whatever reason, and I just draw back, and I cut that wild grapevine. And as soon as I did, the milliseconds that I did that, water started flowing from that grapevine. And I felt, and I didn't know Jesus. I've been born again yet, water and spirit, but I felt condemned. Growed up on the farm, walked through the woods, all kinds of stuff. Instantly, I was condemned. God was speaking to my spirit about the flow from the vine. And later I learned, understood what the Gospel of John chapter 15, how that we must be in the vine because we can't do anything without him. And it is his spirit that flows, amen, from the vine into the branches. So God can speak to you in the natural manifestations of things. See an awesome sunset, and you see in your mind and your spirit the beauty, the grandeur of God, and God speaks to you. Number 8, God can speak through supernatural manifestations. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Spoke to Gideon through a fleece. He spoke to Saul on the Damascus Road through a bright light. He even spoke to Balaam through a donkey. You're in pretty bad shape if you're laying on the ground and a donkey is speaking to you. That was a severe measure that God was going to get that prophet's attention. Number 9, God can speak through the Bible. Who would have thought? Through the Word of God. Scripture is always the voice of God in the general sense that God inspired the words of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, God can also speak specifically to us through the Bible by drawing a particular passage to our attention. Because the Word of God is living and it is active, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And finally, let me share with you number 10, God can speak through a whisper. God can speak through a still small voice. God just doesn't speak to Elijah. God speaks to you, speaks to me in a still small voice. It's when we get quiet with God. It's one thing about praying. After you pray and after you do your petitions and worship and all of this, there's that time, that moment that you just need to get quiet with God. Stop asking. Stop worshiping, stop praying. It's time to hear back from God, to hear what He has to say. Again, the point here is that if we are going to hear God's voice, then we need to listen to Him. And so we need to tune in to the frequency of heaven and hear the voice of God. Do you realize that right now in the atmosphere, right where we're in this building, there's all kinds, thousands, millions of airwaves going through our mind and our body. It's just floating out here. If you had the right tuner, you could tune it in. You can pick up what's being said or spoken. I think it's the important part at the beginning of the New Testament church in the upper room. They were all in one accord. They were in tune together. And the Spirit began to flow and power of God began to move. I love the promise held out for us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That Word is the voice of God speaking sometime specifically to us. We have to hear it. If you've ever met a person of great faith, then you've met a person of great hearing who knows how to listen to the Word of God. You say, it's just a Wednesday night Bible study, and the preacher's up here, he's going through a series, or he's doing this, or whatever it is, or the evangelist. No. A pastor, evangelist, Bible teacher, God gives them a word. And there can be 10 people in the congregation. There can be 1,000, 10,000 in the congregation. And that one word speaks to them all. And when somebody tells me or I hear, I didn't get anything out of that service, it's because, sir, ma'am, your ears are plugged up with junk. Amen. You wasn't listening. You know why kids get bad grades at school? They're not listening. You know why sometimes they make bad grades on tests? Because they didn't listen to the teacher as explaining how to take the test. You know why the red and blue lights come on behind you in the car you're driving? Well, you know the answer to that. I'm not going to explain it to you. So we need to truly listen to God. And obviously it becomes so important. The multitude of people not here tonight, but you're here tonight. I'm here tonight. I need to hear what the voice of God is saying. You see, if a person hears from God and then responds with pride or dishes it out, the word with haughty spirit, then this is not a careful stewardship of God's message to us. Simply, a person can hear God's voice yet respond with closed ears. We had a 7-week revival years ago, and it was a powerful revival and move of God. The first week or two was a struggle. Evangelist and I got in my office and we called Brother T.W. Barnes, who's gone on to meet his reward, but he was an old prophet that walked in the Spirit. I still pray this prayer on occasion. And sometimes before I approach the pulpit or during times of prayer, he gave us the answer. He said, pray that God will anoint the ears of the people and heal their ears that they may hear. And we prayed that prayer. Evangelist and I began to pray that and share that. And we had a 7-week revival that was powerful. It's hearing. Hearing. A person can hear God's word and then respond favorably. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15, and I'm hurrying to a close. The parable of the sower, I think, provides a good foundation for this tonight. For understanding the ability to receive God's word. The sower cast seeds on 4 types of ground. Some of the seed fell by the wayside and was trampled underfoot and devoured by birds. Some of the seed fell on rocky soil and soon sprang up but withered because it lacked moisture. Some of the seed fell among thorns. It sprang up, but then the thorns choked it out. And finally, some fell on good ground. It sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. What kind of ground are we tonight? Do we have thorns growing in our lives? Is our spirit, our heart sort of rocky? Are you parched and lacking spiritual moisture? Or are we the good ground? And I think Luke 8:18 holds out a warning for us. For it says in Luke 8:18, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Now, there's 2 parts to that particular verse that warrant closer examination. And the parable of the sower here found in Luke was talking about what we hear. Do you grasp that? It's what you hear. What you hear. In other words, Jesus is telling us to watch how we receive his word. We are to make sure our ground is tilled and free of thorns and help to ensure bountiful growth. And we are to make sure we are humble when we receive the word of God. We are to ensure that we are a pliable ground, a ground that can take the seed and let it prosper within us and grow up to be a great harvest in our lives. Luke 8 and verse 18 contains this powerful clause. Even what he seems to have will be taken from him. I think there's plenty of Christians fail to produce abundant growth. This world is lacking in spiritual growth. We hear it on the news. We read about it. Kids are marching on Washington on their state capitol in Tallahassee, Florida, over the shooting, terrible shooting, carnage. Thinking about banning guns alone is going to solve everybody's problem. It's a gun-free zone. No one's supposed to come in that free zone, gun-free zone with guns. It's also a Bible-free zone. No one can come in with the Bible either. Amen. No one can come in with a prayer. Amen. We think taking away guns, you can't take away evil with guns, but you can take it away with the Word of God. Amen. Get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. How about a good old taking a bottle of oil in your home and just anointing the doorpost as you go in every once in a while, maybe every 6 months, and I need to re-oil the door. He says, well, I'm not the preacher. You're a child of God. Get a bottle of olive oil and just go there and anoint the doorpost of your house. Don't let anything bad happen to our family or our house. I rebuke every spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. How about trying that? You ban Bibles, you ban prayer, you ban talking about Jesus Christ as if it's going to offend somebody, and then when a maniac comes in and shoots people, we're all upset as if the gun did it. There was evilness behind the gun trigger. There was no God in the home. The voice of God in America is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Amen. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Sometimes it just gets weary when you look at the world and they're walking around in darkness, bumping into one another. Amen. What are we going to do? Well, if we just ban this, if we just stop doing that, you know what turns a city upside down? Is a church on fire of the Holy Ghost. You know what changes people's hearts and lives? It is the Spirit of God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord right now. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know I'm preaching to the church. But once in a while, the choir needs to hear it. Once in a while, we need to remind ourselves to stay on key, stay on tune. Here's the big question. If God spoke to you, did you do it? We're more concerned of what people's going to think and say than what God, our Creator, who died on the cross of Calvary, would say or think. If God spoke it, did you do it? The process of us being obedient to God has been compared to a surfer who catches a wave. You're in balance and you're riding the wave. There's nothing like riding the Spirit of God. This is a wonderful, beautiful congregation of people. And without a doubt, you do value the voice of God. To value it and hear it. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear it in the early morning, just sitting, looking outside. I want to hear it at the close of the day, looking at the sunset and the beauty of God's creation. I want to hear it walking through the woods. And there's times in my first part of life living for God, I would go to the woods found the best place to pray was there. But we cannot be so caught up, entangled, Paul says, with the affairs of this world. We're always just worrying. God will always have the answer for you. God will always give you the direction. We have just got to value enough to hear the voice. And then the value is holding on to that word. Don't turn loose of it. Going through a valley, going through a difficult place, don't turn loose of that which you value. That precious word of God. The promises. Amen? It will take you through to another day. Amen.